Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness. Let's praise Him. Thus will I will bless You, Lord. Thy loving kindness is better. Thy loving, I lift my hands up. Sorry, I lift my hands unto Thy name. Oh Lord, let my lips praise You, Lord. I want to bless You, Lord. Thy loving kindness is better than life.
Dear Lord, we thank You for the worship. We thank You for these offerings that Your children have given. Bless them. Bless their jobs, O Lord. Bless everything they are undertaking, O Lord, for the advancements of Your kingdom, O Lord. Father, let You take the leadership of the remaining of the service. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. We'll sing a chorus and then we'll ask to God be the glory. Sister Viva to give us a testimony. Then we have a song. We have two songs. We'll ask our young, talented musicians that God has given us. Amen. It's good. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, To God Be the Glory, while Sister Viva comes. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen.
Amen. I just want to share my testimony that what's happened with me last Friday. I was sitting in the evening and feeding my baby in the sitting position on my hand with the baby. And when she finished, I just stand up and I couldn't move. I was like that. I couldn't lift my back. I was like that all the time. And I couldn't put my feet. I was like an ice.
Mm.
So I gave a baby to my mom because she was sitting beside me. So I gave a baby to my mom. And then my husband was sitting in the room as well, and I want to see me like that. So I make effort. I walked like that, slowly, in the kitchen, you know, and sat down on the chair there. And when I was sitting for a long time, I was debating what me to do now, to go to the doctor, to call the doctor, or to go to the hospital because something wrong with my back. So I was sitting and I just decided to go to the hospital, really. So I went to the hospital with my husband. It was 6:15 in the evening. So went there. My husband left it there in the hospital. I was sitting on my own. I was reading First of all, when we walked there, the nurse called me in, so she gave me a few tablets of paracetamol and ibuprofen, a few tablets. So, and I was sitting in the waiting room waiting for until the doctor calls me. So I was sitting and reading my Bible in the phone. I was praying. Amen. Doesn't matter if I was praying Amen. In the toilet, somehow I was crawling there and back again to sit. And was speaking with the God. It seems was like I was sitting on my own with the God beside me.
Hallelujah.
I was talking with him in my mind like. Mm. And the time was passing by, but the pain was so agony that I couldn't sit any longer. So I stand up, crawl near to the nurse again. I said, my pain is really agony. What me to do now? So she was given out to me first of all, but it's okay, I don't tell you about that. So then she gave me a strongest tablets, and she said, you have to wait. I give you as strong as tablets as I can give to you, and you have to wait. I can't do anything about. I said, okay, I will sit and wait. So I was sitting and sitting until doctor calls me. So we did an x-ray and everything. The bones was fine, but the pain agony was killing me, really. I hardly was walking. I couldn't put foot, you know. I was like that. I couldn't straighten my back and everything. It was really hard time. Anyway, everything finished. We're back home about 2 o'clock in the morning. I had a slept, maybe. I slept an hour, about 2 hours in the morning. When I wake up, I don't have any pain.
Wow. Amen. Amen.
The pain was Amen. So very, very little that I was able to do a shopping. I was doing every single source that I will be doing every day, the same things, you know. And I was sad. Why I get that pain for 8 hours sitting? And I was wondering, why? For what? And then I got a revelation, why? I got Amen. A revelation that when I'm praying, I always asking, please, God, give me a time to sit down and read my Bible.
Amen.
Even 10 minutes,
Amen.
Always do
Amen.
That. Because, you know, when you have a kid, you're going to work, you have a kid, you don't have time to sit down.
Amen.
But the time you go to bed, you put your head on the pillow, and you just fell asleep in a minute. So I don't have time to read the Bible, man.
Mm.
So that's why he gave me 8 hours to sit down in
Hallelujah.
There. And
Amen.
I read my Bible. I was speaking with him, and everything was fine. And now I know why he gave me that pain. It was agony pain, but it's okay. The doctor prescribed me a lot of medicines, which since I left the hospital, I didn't take any medicines. The tablets still there on the table. I didn't touch them. So I said, I don't have any pain. I can dance again, so I'm fine.
Amen.
So I want to say really thank you very much for the saints who prayed for me last Friday and for the God, of course, that he healed me. And I want to say as well, maybe little things who can make it really think what we do, what we have to do. It's really honestly pray and seek for the God, because he is always answering God for us, for our
Amen.
Prayers. Doesn't matter maybe he will answer early or later, or doesn't matter which way, like in the pain or somewhere else, but is an answering prayer anyway.
Hallelujah.
Like, I'm sorry for the sisters, we were late today this morning, but I know why. Because the God gave a sister a little bit more time to get prepared for the youth. So that's why we were late. So really, thanks very much to all saints. And every single thing, every little bit of it, we have to thank to the God and pray honestly from the heart, really. Thanks, saints.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's an answering. Hallelujah. Welcome all people. Hallelujah. He's an answering. He answers all my prayers when I pray in Jesus' name. In my faith, the answer came.
I prayed in the morning, hallelujah.
I prayed at noon time. I prayed.
How did Moses cross the Red Sea? How did Moses cross the Red Sea? How did Moses cross the Red Sea? How did he get across? Did he swim? No, no. Did he fly? No, no. Did he sail? No, 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 no. Did he run? No, no. Did he walk? No, no. How did he get across? God blew with his wind. Puff, puff.
Sister Lillian comes. Hallelujah. Oh.
Hallelujah. Oh. Hosanna.
Sing it in Shona, but the translation will be on the projector. Sister Angel will put that. Just wanted to just sing a song because I keep counting, but I've seen that I'm getting worse and I'm coughing more, so I just wanted to sing anyway. God bless you.
Oh, mindy fambe enemy. Seja cai tai no ki mubateru o korwangu ditauri rane nemi kanantira yoshai kwa Tenzi vumaindi fambene mi O vumaindi fambene mi Seja kai taino ki Mubateru wokor wangu Ditauri rane nemi kanantira yoshai kwa tenzi vumaindi fambe nemi handi ngambo fambi ndega Duturiri kuvuvuta mirauya kateiwa vavengiwa ndiedza ese aya matambudzo tenzi vumaindi fambe nemi kuti mandi paso ororo zvepasi zvi no vanando ndozo famba no kushinga ndotakura muchinjikwa dakarandi wanezioni tenzi vumaindi fambe nemi kuti mandi paso ororo zvepasi zvi no anando ndozo famba no kushinga ndotakura muchinjikwa dakarandi woneziyoni tenzi vumaindi fambe nemi handi ngambo fambi ndega duturiri kuvuvuta mira uya kateiwa vavengiwa nondiedza eseaya matambudzo tenzi vumaindi fambe nemi obvumaindi fambe nemi sezvakaita Enoki mubatsiri woko rwangu nditauri rane nemi kana nzira yoshayikwa tenzi vumaindi fambe nemi.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen to the songs. Amen. We didn't say well done to our young sister to encourage her. Hey, she can keep bringing them on. Hallelujah. There's a lot of potential in the seeds. Amen. Let's sing that song, Rock of Ages Cleft for Me. That's all we need this morning. It's for the rock to open and we can jump in and hide in the rock.
Rock of Ages Cleft for Me. Oh, hid behind myself in oh, let the water and my power oh, from my womb inside which flow be of sin and God will do. Cause I
Father, we've come to hide ourselves in you. We thank you for testimonies. We thank you, Lord, for worship. We thank you for items that have been sung. Bless each of your people. Thank you, Lord, that your faith still is real today when you put it in the hearts of your people. Father, so bless your people, we pray. Help us now as we've gathered in your precious name. As you open up your word, grant us mercy. Grant us grace. Grant comfort where comfort is needed, instruction, whatever there would be. Each of us, Lord, even as has been prayed, Father, desire that you have the preeminence. We just want to commit ourselves into your hands. Guide us this day. Bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, saints. Just really want to say really sorry to hear about Sister Duba. Her father passed away this morning. So really, let's keep our sister in prayer. I don't know if she's made it today. Did Sister Duba make it? No? Oh, she's on the way. So let's gather there after church. Anybody's free. Let's go to Sister Duba's house after service. Her father passed away, I think, early this morning sometime. So it's not a nice time. May the Lord comfort. We're glad that Sister Marichis is back as well. Really sorry about her loss as well. She had traveled away to Romania. God bless you, sister. Good to see you back. It's in the stormy parts of life. That's where he proves his love to us. You know, those are the real, real times when it becomes real. You know, when everything's going well, you don't really realize how much you need the Lord. But in those other situations, and like David, when he was in his time of tribulation, he learned dependence on the Lord. Amen. You know, we really do as believers, you learn so to be so dependent. Yes. You know that when those times of trial come and he ministers to you, it really puts something inside of you. You become so dependent on him. Amen. And then when you get out of the trial, you don't want to ever lose that dependence. Amen. Because there's something real sweet to the soul. Because your soul was ordained unto this. Let's open Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read the first 7 verses. We started looking a little bit at this at the prayer meeting on Friday. This faith dimension. What is faith? Faith is a dimension. Saints. That's what really faith is. Faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. So if you want to attain a good report, it's not going to be by your works. It's going to be by your faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. Now, there's something about this 11th chapter of Hebrews. It's quite an outstanding chapter. The prophet says it in the Hebrew series when he preaches Hebrews chapter 7, part 2. He says, the book of Hebrews I value as one of the great books. He says, I would like to take one more book, he's meaning chapter, out of the book of Hebrews. He's up to chapter 7 at this time. He says, that is the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And stay about a week in that 11th chapter and take each one of those characters and bring out their characteristic. You see, by faith, Noah. Then take the life of Noah. By faith, Abraham, then take the life of Abraham. By faith, Abel, take the life of Abel. And see, and bring that down. Oh, we could take the whole Bible then. It says, we'll try that maybe, either say in a week or 10 days of meetings. Just one meeting, night after night, in a revival-like. So there's something about that chapter, and it's true. Like we said on Friday, you could take that chapter and spend the rest of the year in that chapter. Very easily. If you just went and took, according to revealed truth, the revelation of the message of the hour, you just go and see what the prophet said about each of these different characters in here. Like if you just take Abel, by faith Abel, and you go and glean from the scripture and then from the message of the hour, why did the Holy Ghost put Abel in there? No, when he's speaking about the heroes of the faith, what is the specific characteristic that we find in Abel? Because each of these heroes of the faith, they're all facing up to different circumstances. They've all got different situations. Now, they've got some of them, it's persecution. Some of them, it's fire. Some of it's a lion's den. You know, some of it, it's waiting 25 years for the promise. Some of it, go and sacrifice your son. Some of them are told, you know, the world's going to be destroyed. Do something that doesn't make sense. No, build a boat when there's never been rain. You know, all these different things. So you will find in this chapter, it's going to show us one thing. That although there's many manifestations that come out of faith, it all comes from one root. There's many fruits that you can get from a from Hebrews 11, but it all comes from one root, from one source, and that source is faith. Amen. So it shows you and me that any situation we're in, it doesn't matter what the situation is. Amen. The answer is always the same thing. It's got to come from that same source, and that source is faith. Amen. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, so faith, it manifests itself, it works itself out in different ways. You see it there. In Noah, it was different than Abel. In Abel, it was different than Abraham. And, you know, in Moses' parents, each of them, it was a different manifestation of faith. But each and every one of these things that happened to them, they first heard from the faith dimension. Something had to come from that dimension of faith. Now, the prophet speaks about the faith dimension and the science dimension, the science civilization that you're living in. You know, and there's these two things that are at odds at the moment. There's a warfare between them. Now, science would do all that it could to try to destroy your faith. Now, education and all these kind of things, well, it has its purpose. You know, we have to go through those things. But definitely, as the prophet says, education is of the devil. Amen. Education could be a great blessing if it was in the hands of God. If it was a faith education, like it used to be, when things were based on faith. Now, when you were taught about the beginning and you were taught about creation, not evolution. Now they try to tell us we came from monkeys and everything just happened by chance. That needs more faith in what we believe. You know, like science is a faith. That's a faith. You know, that's, they have their own substance which they create of things that haven't yet been seen. They can't prove most of the things which they claim. And they just many times disprove the things. If you were interested in your diet, you'll notice the week before last, they had told us for the last 15 years, don't eat a lot of cheese. Don't put a lot of saturated fat in your diet. Now they went and studied, I think a study of about 15,000 people over a period, I think 15 years. And now they've come and told us, eat cheese. Eat saturated fats, because this diet we told you, it's increasing diabetes, it's increasing all these health problems. So if you're going to base your conduct and behavior, now look, you've got to look after your diet, you've got to look after yourself. But friends, a while back they told us don't eat eggs, now they're telling us to eat eggs. A while back they told us don't eat this, and now they're telling us we can eat it. They keep changing their advice. Yeah, can you not see that you're going to have a lot of faith to believe what some of these things are, because they keep changing. But we have something which doesn't change. We have a faith in something that doesn't change. And we have all the heroes of the faith who proved it through their circumstances and their situations. And it worked. And it worked through the age of the apostles. It worked through the age of the martyrs. It worked through the age of the Reformation. It'll work today. It doesn't matter about how scientific the age gets. It just shows how much more important faith is to us, that we've got to know what we believe. So that's why the Lord, he takes these different examples of faith. And he shows all the different circumstances, like a prophet says, the different characters and the characteristics of each of these people. And there's one simple principle it's showing us. Is faith is good at anything.
Amen.
And faith is good at everything.
Amen.
You know, faith can meet any challenge.
Amen.
Faith will never back down to anything.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how evil the age is, friends. We haven't yet got to an evil age of persecution like it was in Babylon with the Hebrew children. But faith was more than equal to the challenge.
Amen.
When Daniel was told, you can't pray to anybody except for to the king for the next 30 days, whatever that it was, faith was more than equal to the challenge.
Amen.
Faith is the master of circumstances. That's what Hebrews 11 is showing us. Faith will master any situation.
Amen.
If it's given an opportunity to express itself.
Amen.
If it's given an opportunity to manifest itself, you'll find that faith is more than able to conquer any situation.
Amen.
That's why it says it quenched the violence of fire.
Amen.
Yeah, it quenched whatever they overcame the sword. It brought people back from the dead. You know, all those different things that it speaks about, all these different characteristics of faith. Now, you look in your life now.
Amen.
What are you facing up to? You're going to find someone in Hebrews 11 where you're going to be able to relate to it.
Amen.
You're going to find certain characters and certain characteristics. And all you need to use is the same source that they used.
Amen.
It's not using your intelligence. It's not trying to puzzle it out. It's not trying to spend sleepless nights. You know, it's not rising up early and, you know, trying to work things out, discussing it with your neighbor. You know, all of those things, that's okay. But the real answer to any situation is you need to hear from the faith dimension. Something needs to be projected from the faith dimension to come and visit you inside of your soul. And then if you just yield yourself to that, if you just submit and surrender yourself, despite what your senses are going to tell you, despite what your mind is going to tell you, your reasoning, your own understanding, all the education that you've received, all the good intentions of people that surround you, when something comes forth from that faith dimension, it never fails.
Yes.
It never fails. Because that's faith. That's faith. And how do you get faith? We spoke about it on Friday. Only one way. Faith cometh by hearing.
Amen.
And hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
So something has to be projected. You have to hear from God.
Yes.
That's what brings faith. When he speaks to you, he can do it in many ways. The prophet says, you know, gifts are there to stimulate faith. He says it in this quote. I've got it here. He says, in Believest Thou This, I like to talk on the word. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing of the word. That's what gives us faith. Before we can have faith, we must have a basis for faith.
Yes.
Friends, blind faith is fanaticism. We don't want blind faith. Faith, you're not called to have blind faith. You're called to believe when he speaks to you.
Amen.
When God speaks to you, that's the basis of faith.
Amen.
If he hasn't yet spoken to you, you don't have a basis of faith.
Amen.
Now, if you haven't yet found in his word a basis for your faith, if nothing's yet been quickened to you, it's fanaticism for you to believe.
Amen.
You have no basis for that. But the Bible is telling us that faith, yeah, it's a substance.
Yes.
Faith, it's an evidence. It's something which is real.
Amen.
It has to come from somewhere.
Amen.
It comes from a faith dimension.
Amen.
And when grace reaches down to you from that faith dimension, faith is imparted to you.
Amen.
When he speaks to you, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
That's why if you're lacking faith in any aspect of our life, it's not brain science. We just haven't given enough attention to that particular aspect of his word.
Amen.
It's like if you're at school and you're doing well in a lot of things, but you're not good at geography or you're not good at maths. You know, what do you have to do? Put more time on that.
Amen.
Put more emphasis on those subjects that you're weak at. Because that's where you're going to find the solution. There's no blind faith, friends. You know, when I was in the charismatic church, in the Pentecostal church, used to teach us, have faith in your faith. I'll never have faith in my faith. Because your faith and my faith is not dependable. The only thing that's dependable is his faith. That's why it says, have faith in God. Have the faith of God. That's what you need, is his faith. Let him impart his faith from the faith dimension. We receive his faith. That faith is never going to fail. That's a solid rock that we're building our, whatever it is that we're trying to build our hopes upon. My hope is built on nothing less. This is a sure foundation. This is the rock of ages. This is building on the rock, not building on the sand.
Amen.
You know, that's why he says, these things are governed by the law of faith.
Yes.
So faith is governed by laws.
Amen.
Just as much as the law of gravity, everything to do with the kingdom of God is based on laws. He set laws in place.
Amen.
And if you understand those laws and work according to those laws, you can benefit from those laws. Exactly the same as faith. And the law of faith is that faith comes from one source. That's sharing from him. That's sharing from the faith dimension. And he says in his word, he says, my word when I send it forth, it's like the rain coming down from heaven. It won't return to me without achieving the purpose to which it was sent. So if we can just receive it when it comes to us. That's why the prophet says, whatever the Lord can persuade your heart to believe, it's yours. He's got to persuade you to believe it. It's not natural for you to believe. We weren't born believing. We were born blind spiritually. We were born dead in sin, dead in trespasses. But he can persuade us to believe. And like we said on Friday, that faith is a foreign object if you're not born again. To someone who's not yet been regenerate. Yeah? You're blind to faith. Because when man fell, the eyes of faith were blinded, were totally dimmed. When man fell, that channel, that link to the faith dimension was completely closed. And unless grace had reached down from there, so that that faith dimension reached down to the hearts of people, you will never believe. Jesus says, no man comes unto me unless my Father draws him first. So you can see, he has to visit you. He has to come to you. He has to persuade your heart to believe. And you need to submit yourself. That's the greatest battle ever fought now. Because it's got to go through the womb of the mind. You've got to receive the anointed promise. There's something that's persuading and telling you this is true. I know that this is real. Other things are going to come with the objections now. There's going to be, but how can it happen? You've been prayed for before. You've had the sickness for a long time. Whatever, it's going to have all these other things coming from the other senses.
Amen.
But then there's an act of will when you say,
yes,
be done to me according to this word. When you accept that which has been revealed to you, and it drops down now from the spiritual womb, the mind, down into the heart, now you're believing from the heart. And when you believe from the heart, everything else keeps quiet. The prophet says, when faith speaks, everything else shuts up.
Amen.
And that's true. When faith speaks, friends, when faith speaks inside of your heart, everything else shuts up.
Amen.
Now, the devil can chatter until faith drops in your soul. Then when faith drops in your soul, it changes the whole equation of the situation that you're in. Because faith gives you authority now. Faith gives you the preeminence. Faith now gives you the impetus because you've received divine energy through the anointed word. Something divine has come. There's a quickening power that's come inside of your soul. And that's why it's have the faith of God. That's what it is. His faith being deposited in you. That's the basis of faith. There's no surer foundation to that. To the outside world, it seems foolish. To the outside world, they can't understand why you're just not trying to make a plan.
Yes.
No, you need to do something about it. No, what are you doing about the problem that you're in? I'm waiting on the Lord. No, you can't just wait upon the Lord. Go to the bank, do this, that, apply for this. No. But that's the way the world works. That's the science civilization. That's the way it operates. But we're not called to operate according to the rules of the science civilization. We are called because we're citizens of the faith civilization. So the way we look at things, the way we react to things, the way we handle things is completely different. But don't expect the world to pat you on the back. Because to the world, it's foolishness. The things of God are foolishness to the world. It's like it's foolish. How can you do the things that you're doing? If you really want to understand that, look at, by faith, Noah.
Yes, sir.
to the world. It was foolishness what this man was doing. Now, sometimes we don't really put ourselves back in that age and think, what was it like for Noah? Peter tells us it was like in our age, scoffers and mockers and all that. Do you think they said good things about Noah in the newspaper? They would have made jokes about Noah. You know, the cartoonists would have had their day. Because here's a man, there's never been rain since the beginning of time. Yeah? There's never been rain. The earth was watered by a mist, the Bible tells us. And here's a man who says, God is going to destroy this earth by rain. There's going to come dark clouds. There's going to come thunder and lightning. The people are saying, you're mad. That's never. And to make it worse, he builds a boat on a mountain. Hey, the prophet says it in What is the Attraction on the Mountain? He's building a boat on a mountain. But saints, faith is an amazing thing. Noah took all of his savings, yeah? He took everything. I'm sure Noah, everything he didn't need, he sold it. He took every cent of income that he had and he invested it in that boat. And it was the greatest investment he ever could have made. To the world, it was foolishness. That's why I sent that thing on the forum yesterday, because I was thinking of the story. That faith is willing to put all of its eggs in one basket. Amen. Noah wasn't looking for a plan B. He wasn't looking for, if this doesn't work, you know, I'm going to have something on the side. Noah put everything into that ark. He put his reputation, he put his time, he put his money, he put his effort, the reputation of his family. He put everything that he had in one basket. Amen. And to the world, they looked at that and said, that is the most risky investment a person ever made. But to faith, it's not a risky investment. It wasn't a risky investment. It was a sure investment. Now, if Noah hadn't have done it by faith, if Noah hadn't have first heard from the faith dimension, if God hadn't have personally come to Noah and spoken to him about it, we would have agreed with those people. But because he did it by faith, because the Lord came down and says, the end of all flesh has come. But you have found favor, grace in my eyes. Therefore, build an ark. And God gave him the dimensions of the ark. But to the world, friends, it was foolishness. You can imagine the columnists in the newspapers on those days. I mean, if there was Twitter in those days or Facebook, my friend, they were having a field day. The people taking their photos and making all their jokes about the man building a boat on a mountain, saying that there's going to come rain from heaven that never happened. But let me say one thing to you now. Where are all the critics? Where are all of them now? Where are all the articles and the jokes? Where are they now? And where's Noah now? That shows you about faith, friends. There's no wiser investment than faith. When God reveals something to you, the greatest thing you can do, put all your eggs in that basket. Just invest everything you have there if you know that God spoke to you. Friends, I don't have any time for people who half believe this message. I don't like that. Noah didn't half believe his message. He fully believed his message. He was willing by his life to show he fully believed that message. That which he had heard from the faith dimension, he was fully convinced of it. He was fully convinced. There was no plan B. Now, if something goes wrong, and maybe this and that, maybe, you know, I need to have this, that, and that. Let me keep one bridge back to my old life. Friends, faith burns all the bridges. Faith is like the Vikings. When they go to conquer a territory, they burn the boats. There's no turning back. That's how the Vikings used. That was the secret of their success. Faith isn't looking for an alternative. Faith has found the real thing. But faith, you've got to be convinced. You've got to be convinced of it. And that's how we looked on Friday. And we saw in Hebrews 11 verse 1 when it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance means the assurance. So the first thing about faith is you have an assurance. There's something telling you. You have an assurance. You're settled inside of yourself. Until that, it's hope. Until you get to that stage that you have a substance. That you have a full assurance of something. Simeon in the temple had a full assurance. When the Lord came and spoke to him and said, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. It didn't matter what the rest of the Sanhedrin council said. It didn't matter what the rest of his family said. They thought the man had gone mad. You believe you're going to see the Messiah before you die. But it had been revealed to him of the Holy Ghost. He had been visited by the faith dimension. The faith dimension had been projected by grace to the soul of the man. He heard from God. And he knew it doesn't matter. And as the days would go by and the weeks would go by and people now they'd start to say all manner of things like people say. It didn't weaken him at all.
Amen.
He had faith. And faith is perseverance, friends. Amen. The prophet says faith is like the mainspring in a watch.
Amen.
No, the mainspring is the watch is the one that has all the energy. Amen. And all the other little cogs and wheels and that, they all depend on that center of the watch, that mainspring, that slowly is releasing the energy to get everything to move together to turn the hands on the watch.
Amen.
And faith is the mainspring. When you have something like that, like Noah had the real faith in his mainspring. It was sufficient for 120 years to keep the man going. And he never weakened in that 120 years. Everything he earned, everything they grew and they sold, everything which they made and sold, however they raised the money, because that ark was as big as an ocean cruiser. It wasn't a small boat. You go and see the dimensions of the ark. It's the same, almost like the Titanic, yeah? That kind of a boat. It wasn't a small boat. So imagine the investment in time, the investment in everything. Noah took everything he had and he put it in the message of the hour. That's what it is. And a genuine believer does the same thing. A genuine believer does the same thing. You don't know how things are going to work out in the end. People might ask you, what about your pension? Now you should be taking all your money. You shouldn't be using your money on other things like this. You know, you should be spending your time and your money storing up a big pension. Friends, to a believer, you already have a pension plan. He's your pension plan. There's nothing wrong in investing in a pension, yes. But that can't be the be-all and the end-all. Remember Brother Barry coming and saying, you people here, if you're trusting in the Irish government, with its great debt, mountain of debt, the highest in proportion in Europe, that if things just shake a little bit, if you're trusting in them to give you your pension down the way, be careful.
Amen.
But friends, there's another economy. And it's a faith economy.
Amen.
Yes, you do what you can do. But friends, that's not where you put your hope and your trust.
Amen.
You don't put your hope and trust in these things because they can pass away. Like we said on Friday, how many people took all of their life savings, yeah, and put it in the bank? And then this recession came 2007, the banks closed and they lost everything.
Amen.
My. But there's another place you can invest.
Amen.
And if something's revealed to you by faith, that's the wisest investment you can ever give.
Amen.
To give everything that you've got to that.
Amen.
But God is in the business of risk. Risk management. Because it seems so risky. But Noah, you're putting everything in this boat. Everything in one boat. Can't you spread your investment just a little bit further? Faith doesn't know that kind of a conversation. Faith doesn't understand that kind of a language. Because it was so real to Noah. He had a substance. He had an assurance. It was just as real to Noah as anything else was. Just as real as anything else was. As we said on Friday about the sixth sense being faith. Your five senses, you trust in them. Now when you look at something, when you touch something, yeah? No doubt this is a pulpit. You know that it's a pulpit. Faith is the sixth sense. When something is revealed by faith, it's just as real to you as the rest of your senses. But you can't explain it in the science civilization, in the science realm. Because the science realm doesn't understand the sixth sense. The science realm only works according to the five senses. Everything must be proved. Everything must work according to their laws, which they believe in, and so forth. And then they'll tell you one thing, that the speed of light is constant. And now they say, no, the speed of light's not constant. No, they change all these kind of things, friend. That's why I don't spend my time in science. Because you can put all your eggs in one basket of science and you find out the basket changes 15 years down the way. And now what's going to happen with all your eggs? No, you can't put your eggs in sinking sand like that.
Amen.
But faith never disappointed anybody at any time. No person who went by genuine faith. Not like the prophet says, by emotional workup. That's not faith. That's not the right basis. But when God speaks to you, when you hear from the faith dimension, when something projects from that realm of substance, because that faith dimension is just as real, even more real than this dimension we're living in now. The prophet went beyond the curtain of time. He went into the faith civilization. He sought for himself. He bit his finger. It was just as real. It was just as real. So when something projects from that dimension to you, it's something coming from a dimension of substance. It's a substance. It's a real place. It's a real in that dimension, things are real. So when something comes forth to you from that dimension, it doesn't come to these five senses. It comes and speaks to your sixth sense. And the sixth sense now is the domain of the believer. The unbeliever doesn't have the sixth sense. It's like a person, we said on Friday, being born blind. They don't have that sense. You can try to explain until you blew in the face to someone who's blind about colors. No, there's lavender, and lavender's a little bit different than lilac, and lilac's a little bit different than whatever. And you're trying to explain the beauties of the rainbow, the beauty of the lily, the beauty of the sunset, or the beauty of the dawn. That person, as much as they want to understand it, they just don't have that sense activated to understand what you're saying. The only time they can ever really understand what you're saying is if their eyes come open and they have the same sense as you.
Amen.
Then they can say, oh, this is what you were speaking about all the time. I tried to get the concept, but I couldn't grasp it. But now I can see exactly what you're saying. And it's the same as somebody with faith. If you don't have faith, no one else can give you faith. Faith only comes from the faith dimension. He is the one who gives the measure of faith to every man, the Bible says. You can't take your faith and give it to somebody else. But your faith can be so real, it can influence somebody else so that they desire the same faith. That's what Moses' parents did, his mother. It was her faith, by faith, Joshebed. Moses' parents, they had their faith. And that faith was so real. That it helped Moses. It influenced Moses in such a real way that he was protected by that faith until he came to his own faith. Friend, that's how real that it can be. But you can never put your faith in the soul of somebody else. It's the same as any one of the senses. Every sense that we have declares something to us. It declares something to us. When the light strikes, Brother Greg, now, and it's reflected off and the light waves are coming, God has given us a sense. So we can now receive that which is coming forth, which is the light waves. That can be projected. It can be translated in us into something that's real. I can see it. Sound waves. Our ears can translate sound waves into something that's real to us. It's taken something that's real, but you can't see sound waves. You can't see it. But if you've got the right sense, it's transmitted from a sound wave, comes, strikes the right sense, it becomes real to you.
Amen.
The same as faith. If you have the sixth sense, if your soul is right with God, something comes forth from that dimension, faith waves. Faith comes through the word, through the anointed word. God speaks something to you. You may be sitting and surrounded by people who don't hear anything. But you hear something. And because you have something and receive that, it makes just so real to you, but it's not real to other people. Because they don't have that sense. That's why you need to thank God every day. That He's opened up the eyes of your understanding. That He's opened up your heart. That He's revealed these things to you. That's why Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. And blessed are your ears because they can hear. Because Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, they couldn't hear. That's why he says, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Because there's different types of hearing. There's this hearing in the sixth sense. The sixth sense can hear something. The sixth sense can see something. You might have natural sight, but not have that sight. Natural hearing, not have that hearing. You can feel something now, but the sixth sense can feel. You know, it can feel, it can have a substance, it's a reality. There's something very real about it.
Amen.
But like we said on Friday as well, that faith needs to be fed.
Amen.
Your faith doesn't take care of itself.
Hallelujah.
If you don't feed your faith, it diminishes.
Yes,
if you don't exercise your faith, it doesn't grow.
Amen.
No, you've got to feed your faith. You've got to exercise your faith.
Yes,
that's why we can get to a stage that our faith becomes weak. A believer never loses their faith. But when the challenge comes up, you just find you're not able to meet the challenge.
Yes,
it's because your faith, you haven't fed it enough. You haven't exercised that faith enough. Therefore, you find the situation comes up and you're not the master of that situation. Because that faith is not able to express itself. You know, because the conditions are not right for it to express itself. But we need to feed our faith. And the prophet says the Holy Ghost only feeds on the Word of God. It doesn't feed on local weed. It doesn't feed on YouTube. It doesn't feed on Facebook. All those things are okay. But like Sister Viva was saying, you know, sometimes the Lord has to put us, the prophet says, has to put us on a hospital bed on our back to get us to look up.
Amen.
So that we'll spend enough time to realize that he's real. Because this life can be so busy. And that's why you've got to be disciplined as a believer.
Amen.
If you want to benefit from the faith dimension, you've got to be disciplined.
Amen.
You've got to seek first that dimension, the kingdom of God. And then he takes care of the rest of the day. You've got to divide your day up and take the choice portion of your day. And you dedicate it as a sacrifice and a pleasing offering to the Lord. You can't just put 5 minutes at the end of the day and expect your faith is going to grow. And expect when sickness strikes the home, something's going to rise up in you and be able to challenge that sickness. It's not going to work like that. You've got to invest. That's real seed faith. This, you know, when we were in Pentecost, Kenneth Copeland and them used to preach about seed faith. But to them, seed faith was this.
Yes.
Give them money and God will give you the thing that you're asking for. That was their seed faith. You've got to sow a seed. Yes, you have to sow a seed, but it's not a natural seed.
Amen.
You've got to sow the seed if you want to get the harvest, but sow the right seed. Sow the spoken word seed.
Amen.
That's the seed that you've got to sow to get the harvest.
Amen.
That's seed faith. It says by faith, Moses' parents, yeah?
Amen.
That was seed faith. They took the most precious thing God had given them by faith. Yeah? And they sowed it. They put it in a basket. And they put it in the River Nile.
Yes, sir.
They put all their eggs in one basket.
Hallelujah.
They took all their hopes, all their aspiration, all that had been revealed to them. They made such a risky investment. They took a little baby, put it in a basket made of reeds, covered with pitch, and put it into the River Nile by faith.
Amen.
And to the world, the people were saying, that is the most foolish thing that a parent could ever do. You wanted to save your child. Because they hid him for 3 months. It says, by faith, they hid him for 3 months because they saw he was a goodly child. Then they realized after a while, okay, if we're going to keep this, we're going to lose it. But if we give it away, we're going to find it. That's the faith principle. Give it away and you find it. Lose it and you find it. Try to keep it and you lose it. That's what Jesus said about a person's life. That's why to a genuine believer, Jesus says, if you hold on to your life, if you keep your life, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to sow the seed, if you're willing by faith, when faith strikes you, Master, we've left everything to follow you.
Amen.
Yeah? What shall we receive? In the regeneration, you'll be sitting upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's when you're going to reap a harvest, in this life and in the world to come. But it's a faith. It's by faith. It's when he is leading your soul to do something. when he has declared something to you. For Moses' parents to just put Moses in the river without faith was foolishness. That would be blind faith. That's nonsense. But first they heard from the faith dimension. It was revealed to them to do that. Maybe in a dream, whatever that it was. But God revealed what it was. And they had to lay aside, she had to lay aside her own motherly feelings, all of the, you know, the objections that the natural person will have to such a thing. And imagine the neighbors and people like that, what they would have said. You're mad. But imagine Pharaoh had given a command, all male children into the Nile. So Moses' parents said, fine, we'll put him in the Nile. But they didn't put him in the way that Pharaoh was meaning. And when they sowed that seed, that was their faith being sowed.
That's right.
It reaped a deliverer. It reaped deliverance from Egypt. It reaped a man that all faiths speak about up to this day. Even the Muslims respect Moses. Musa. They respect him. But can you see the investment? No, that's why sometimes maybe the parents didn't see it. Who knows? Who knows if they saw the promised land? It doesn't really matter. But something that you sow in faith, it's always going to reap a benefit. Remember that woman? We've got a burden inside of her heart. The prophet said, just a handmaid of the Lord. And she got a burden inside of her heart because she felt they needed a revival in that town. And she went to the minister and he didn't feel the same as her. So she took all that she had. She took all of her savings. And she went, hired a livery stable, whatever it was, a building. Paid a preacher to come, an evangelist to come. She had leaflets printed to advertise the meetings. That was faith. That was faith. Nobody else understood what she was doing. But to her, it was so real. She had heard from the faith dimension. Something had declared itself to her. She had a substance. She knew something's going to come from this. Something has to come from this because my word, when I send it forth, it'll never return to me without achieving the purpose to which I said. Now, we can't see the end of our faith. So you'll have a burden inside of you to do something. You can't see what that's going to unfold to. You can only feel the substance. Now, I need to do this. But he knows what it's going to unfold to. He knows the reason that he sent it. And that's why every time he comes, something good happens. Every time something comes forth from the faith dimension, if you can just receive it and yield yourself, something good is going to happen. Many times you don't know what that good thing is going to be. It may not even be in your life. It may be when you passed off the scene. Like Joseph the carpenter. He never saw Jesus in his fullness. He died before Jesus got to his fullness. But he invested his time. He invested his life. He sowed a seed into something. His reputation, all that he had, into a revelation of faith that had come to him from a faith dimension. And the fullness of the harvest was the greatest blessing that the world has ever seen. Yet in this world, he never saw it. But in the where he is now, he knows his reward. And that's the way that faith is. Faith isn't looking for its reward now. Faith is just seeking an opportunity to express itself. Because faith is an active force. Faith is an active force. Faith cannot stay quiet. You know, that's how faith is, friends. Faith is real. Faith is an energy. It's a force inside of a person. It wants to express itself. That's why if your faith is known by your works, your works are your faith expressed. Faith always will express itself in some way. If somebody has no works, James says, faith without works is dead. Dead. If you can't invest yourself into this message with your whole soul, you don't have faith. You don't have the faith that you should have. It's the truth, saints. We should be willing to throw everything in. If Noah heard from God, yeah? Because how does the faith dimension communicate with us? Many times on the big things, it communicates with code. And it's only prophets that are sent to decode the message coming from the faith dimension. So those key areas in junctions in time, God sends his prophets.
Yes, sir.
And the prophets are built in a peculiar way.
Amen.
They can receive clearly these communications Hallelujah. Coming from the faith Amen. Dimension. And they can decode them now and tell us what it is.
Amen.
That's what a prophet is sent to do. Now, friends, science broke into that a long time ago.
Amen.
Science realized there's radio waves. And if you have a transmitter and a receiver, yeah, you can sit in a building here in Britain, say, during the Second World War, and you can broadcast battle orders to somebody in North Africa. You can be sending the commander, doesn't have to be there. But just through that, those waves that our natural senses cannot discern, cannot detect, but through radio waves, intelligence can be sent forth to empower people, to lead people to great victories, to lead people to do things that the enemy never expected. How much more this transmission that comes by faith?
Amen.
You see, the prophet says that. He says there's a dimension we can't see. Radio waves.
Yeah, that's right.
But science broken and made a transmitter, made a receiver. You can listen to it. But what they would do in the army, something important over those radio waves, you wouldn't just send it in plain speech. You would encode it. You would encrypt it. And that's why the Bible is encrypted.
Amen.
It's not written just open and clear. Even when it says a virgin shall conceive, it's in the midst of a story about a king.
Yes.
And you just wonder why all of a sudden drops in something about a virgin shall conceive and continues on with the story. And for you to really understand it,
yeah,
the one who encoded it,
yes.
yeah, he's the one who has to send something forth from the faith dimension to show you how to put it together.
Amen.
And that's why our prophets are sent at certain junctions like Noah, like in our age. To come so that there comes a transmission from headquarters, yeah? To show exactly which portion of the word we require faith in our age.
Amen.
And you find the prophets come. The prophet never came and opened the whole Bible to us.
Yes.
There's lots of things in the Bible the prophet never speaks about.
Amen.
Because there weren't mysteries in the Bible that we needed to know.
Amen.
But there's certain sections he would go to every single time he'd preach.
Amen.
Abraham and his body change. Enoch, you would speak about him. Revelations 10, Malachi 4, all of those scriptures. Why? Because the headquarters was declaring at that time, this is what the people need to overcome.
Amen.
This is what the people, these are the battle orders. This is what the conditions of the day are going to be.
Amen.
So God transmits it through a faith dimension. But friends, if you reject a prophet, how are you going to overcome?
Amen.
How are you going to overcome?
Amen.
When you don't even have enough faith sometimes to overcome your own circumstances.
Yes.
And you think you're going to have enough faith to understand the mind of the enemy. What the enemy is plotting in this age. The mark of the beast and the uniting of the churches. And you know the rise of Revelations 13. The beast rising from the waters. And the beast from the earth. Friends, you and I would have had just a confused mind. Like Mr. Bohannon. Yeah. You and I would have been saying, I think John ate a hot pepper steak the night before. Because we don't understand. Here's the bride on Mount Sinai. Here's the bride in the tribulation. Here's the bride in glory. Then the prophet says, you've got it all wrong. You've got it divided right. That's not the bride on Mount Sinai. That's Israel. That's not the bride in the tribulation. That's the foolish virgin. That's the bride in glory. You've got to know how to categorize things. Take the scriptures that apply to certain people. It's like on that mystery of redemption and salvation. There's certain scriptures
yes.
don't apply to the redeemed.
Yes.
They apply to those that can just be saved.
Amen.
There's certain scriptures that are only for the elect.
Yes. Right.
You can't take those scriptures and put them on the non-elect.
Yes.
You can't. When Jesus says, Father, all that you've given me, I've lost none of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The elect, the soul of an elect person, yeah, is a gene of God. How can God lose his sons and his daughters? How can God lose his thoughts? Those names are written in the Lamb's portion of the book of life. They can never be lost. Never. How can God lose his own sheep? He'll lead the nine, leave 99 to go and find the one. He's not going to get off the great mercy seat until the last one comes in. He's never going to lose a single one of them. But then there's another group of people in the book of life, whose names can be blotted out of the book.
Amen.
Yeah? He that overcomes, his name shall be not blotted out of the book of life.
Amen.
So there's a certain group of people that their names, depending on how they handle truth, depending on what they do with the revealed truth in their age, it determines whether their name stays there or not. But to the elect, your name is written in the palms of his hands. You as eternal as God is eternal in your soul. Because you came from God. You were in the Logos when the Logos came out of God. You were in Christ when he died on the cross. You can never be lost. But now sometimes we're trying to take these scriptures and apply them to these people. And that's when people get confused and say, but it looks like sometimes we've got to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And sometimes we've got to do this. No. You've got to understand there's different categories. Just as much as there's Israel and the church. That there's different categories. There's the wise virgin and the foolish virgin. And friends, you and I will crack our heads until the end of time to understand that. But God will send a prophet with a seventh grade education and who has access to the faith dimension. And something will just be transmitted to him from the faith dimension and he just comes and makes it so clear. He doesn't have to struggle, the prophet, to see those things. He was ordained to that. That was the purpose to which he was sent. To receive from that dimension. There was a receiving station in a prophet that he can receive things that you and I can't receive. And he receives that revelation and just comes and rightly divides now that word of truth. And you and I look at it with all of his bad English, all of his bad grammar. But my friend, don't you underestimate that message. That message is powerful. You can take one page of a message and spend the whole week. Just digging down, digging down, digging down. It's powerful stuff, friends, the message. But it's foolishness to them that are perishing. Like Noah was foolish. This man's a farmer. What's he doing? He thinks he knows more than all of science. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. They must have had their big schools of learning. Their big scientific schools. Now, the people that graduated from those schools, they were the real people. Now, parents, that was their great ambition they had for their children, that they come out of such a school of learning. Oh, my son's real scientific. Now, he's got lots of letters after his name. Then here came Noah, they didn't have a single letter after his name. Maybe Noah never went to a deaf school in his life. But Noah had something, friends. He had access to a faith dimension. And when God spoke to him, it was so real that the power of that revelation took him for 120 years. 120 years of disappointment. Because faith will ride through all disappointments. 120 years through criticism. 120 years through all the things that people said, all the misunderstandings. Maybe the people around him afterwards say, you know, Dad, were you really sure that you heard from God? Mm-hmm. No, it's been a long time now. You know, your beard's getting gray and your strength isn't the same as it used to be. But friends, faith, it's unconquerable. Yes. Faith is just so pure. Yes. That's why Jesus said faith is like a mustard seed. You can't mix it with anything else. Amen. Faith is just pure. Sometimes it may get small in its measure, but it stays just as pure and powerful in the effectiveness that it has. And all that Noah would have to do is just go and get himself quiet and just go and feed his faith once again. And then he'd come back and say, no. Fellowship with his family once again. Get them back on course, back to building the boat. On top of the mountain, and there'd never been any rain. Foolishness to the world. But there was something declaring itself to that man. Amen. Something so real. And he invested in it. Really ask yourself inside of your life, what are you investing in? There's nothing wrong making other investments. What is your investment? What is your chief investment? What is the most important investment that you're making? That's going to show where your faith is. That's going to show the direction where your faith is laying. Because if you hear from God, friends, there's nothing more important than that. There's nothing sweeter than that. There's nothing more real than that. That's grace coming to you. Remember Brother Bacon saying, faith, revelation is grace to you. Amen. That's why revelation never puffs anybody up. Amen. It's knowledge that puffs people up. Right. Not to make you think you're better than somebody else. But faith, it's grace. Amen. It's God's grace to you. That's how you will never boast about faith. You'll never boast, I've got more faith than you. Friends, you start to question a person like that. You start to question a person like that. It's grace. It's God's grace to you. That's the attributes of it. Now, like Moses' parents, faith has one attribute that when it's put to the crunch, it can do. It can commit everything into the hands of God.
Yes.
Not understanding how it's going to work out. Not understanding what's going to come next week or next month, whatever. But genuine faith has that ability to take a baby and commit it into the hands of God.
Amen.
That was faith.
Amen.
Think of it. Think of taking your little baby. Amen. You that are parents, you'll understand. Is that easy to think about?
Amen.
But it was faith. Faith will overrule your natural affections.
Amen.
When the Lord spoke to Abraham, Abraham, go and sacrifice your son. It says, by faith Abraham went.
Amen.
Abraham had a substance. He knew somehow God will raise him up.
Amen.
Because the promise is in this boy.
Amen.
And God cannot lie. God will have to raise him up. Even if I offer him as a burnt offering, God will have to raise him as one from the dead.
Amen.
To fulfill his word.
Right.
Now, Abraham was wise. He never told Sarah. Because Sarah never had that substance.
Yes.
She hadn't heard from that faith dimension.
Amen.
She wasn't able to bear that burden. But friends, faith gives you power to bear the burden. God will never speak to you and commission you to do something by faith that's going to be too much for you to do. Never. Because with the faith comes the ability. There comes the substance, comes the energy to be able to do what he's asking you to do. Because you've received something from the faith dimension. You've received something directly from him. And friend, that in itself is strong enough to get the job done.
Amen.
And the key to you and I is just to feed that.
Amen.
Just to rid ourselves of all that would oppose and frustrate that. That's, I don't understand people that fellowship with critics. I don't understand that.
Amen.
Me, friends, I delete critics from my phone.
Amen.
I have people emailing me from all over the world trying to tell me this and that about the message. I don't read the emails.
Amen.
I look at the gist of the email and say, this is poison.
Amen.
Why take poison into yourself?
Amen.
Then I go to the block button. Block.
Amen.
Says, would you like to block this email from now, time to eternity?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Never want to hear from that person again. I'm not interested in Mr. Critic.
Amen.
Friend, I don't have enough time to feed myself on the faith. Why do I want to go and feed myself on poison?
Amen.
Let's be wise. Separate yourself from all unbelief. God's call is a call to separate yourself from all unbelief. And what is unbelief? Sin is unbelief.
Amen.
That's the only sin that there is unbelief. You don't need to be fellowshipping with Mr. Critic and Mr. Unbeliever. If you can't answer somebody's questions, go and get somebody else who can. You know, if you're being overcome and there's questions and things that are troubling you, my friend, go and speak to somebody else. Speak to somebody who's more seasoned in the faith. Because you will find the same things you went through, we went through. When I first became a Christian, when I gave my heart to the Lord, when I was at university, the very first thing that came to me was, if evolution's true, the Bible's false. If the Bible's true, evolution is false. And that was a big challenge to me. And I was really desperate inside of myself because I grew up in a science civilization. I did biology. I did all those things at school. I knew what they were teaching about evolution. And then the devil comes now and takes that knowledge from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and wants to come and challenge your faith. And God is good, friends. I was troubled. And I was walking up the road at the campus. It was at night. I remember it well. And I met a girl that I knew from back home. I was in South Africa University. Nikki Chamberlain, some of the saints will know her. And she was a Christian. And she was so happy I'd become a Christian because we were bad before we became Christians. And so she met me that night and said, Andrew, I'm so glad to see you. How is your Christian walk going? And I said, I'm doing okay, but it's just this thing about evolution that's a great challenge to me. She said, it's amazing. She said, somebody came and visited me last night and gave me a book about evolution. Faith and Evolution, called The Seal of God. Come, I'll give it to you. She gave me that book. Friends, faith cometh by hearing.
Amen.
I went and examined the facts. Yeah?
Yeah.
The balanced facts from a Christian scientist about evolution. Then I saw this is a lie.
Yeah.
Evolution is a lie and a deception.
Yeah. Yeah.
And any person who studies it properly will find out the same thing.
Amen.
But the science civilization will try to tell you it's a fact. Amen. No, we came from monkeys and all this kind of stuff. And honestly, let me tell you the truth. Some of them came from monkeys. They came from the serpent. That's the serpent seed. That's the truth. You know the prophet says in Power to Transform, you know what he says? The evidence of the serpent seed is? He says the serpent seed are unable to humble themselves unto the revelation in their day. That's the serpent seed. Cain was the serpent seed. He couldn't humble himself to that revelation. Whereas by faith, Abel. Abel could submit everything to that revelation. That's how you tell a serpent seed, my friend. God will visit them with revelation like he did to Cain. God will give them a chance. God will persuade them. They'll stand in the anointed presence of God. And God himself will be persuading them. But there's nothing in them to believe. They cannot humble themselves to reveal truth.
Amen.
That's why if you can humble yourself to reveal truth, you're one of the most privileged of people.
Yes.
That when truth comes your way, that you're able just to yield yourself and say, Lord,
Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen.
Forgive thou mine unbelief.
Amen.
You're a privileged person.
Amen.
And all of these other things, friends, that challenge our young people. We're going next weekend, by the grace of God, for the youth. To Wicklow. But there's an answer to every one of these questions.
Amen.
Don't die in silence.
Amen.
Don't sit by yourself thinking, but oh, I don't understand this. What will people think? We all had to go the same way that you have to go.
Amen.
All of us had to navigate. We said it on Friday. Faith has to navigate a treacherous path because Paul says some people's faith has been shipwrecked.
Amen.
It says Hymenaeus and Alexander having made shipwreck of their faith. Don't allow your faith to be made a shipwreck. There'll be rocks. There'll be stormy seas. There's going to be trials. But, my friend, there's a captain, a pilot who knows the way. And sometimes already there's people that have been down that same treacherous path. They've faced up to those same challenges already. There's questions. The same question that you're struggling with. Some people 25 years ago found the answer to those things. So just open up and ask the question. That's the best thing to do. That's the best thing to do. Sometimes in families, there's unbelief in families. Yeah. We know that. Not all the time doesn't mean always your children are going to believe. But if you find your children aren't believing, make sure that you update your faith. Make sure the things that are challenging them, which are causing them to disbelieve, you have an answer. That's got to be your big challenge as a parent, surely. Friends, if we come here to church and there's a big question rises up and I don't have the answer, and I come and stand in front of you, am I being good in what I'm supposed to do?
No.
No. But if there's a challenge, surely I should be going to seek the Lord.
Amen.
That should be my first priority to say, but Lord, there's a question risen here about the brown bear vision.
Amen.
Yeah? What is this about the brown bear vision?
Mm.
Then you'll find God always has a witness.
Amen.
And there's Brother Biskel and he says, I was there. And he tells the truth. It's always like that.
Amen.
Lord, we don't understand about the municipal bridge. There's no record of the municipal bridge in the newspapers and that the people could find. And then comes the son of the mayor of the city.
Amen.
Says, yes, I remember well, you know, my dad coming and speaking to, Brother Bram coming and speaking to my dad. And my dad telling him about those men who fell off the bridge into the concrete. Their bodies are still there now. It's amazing. Friends, God has an answer.
Amen.
You will never exhaust the faith dimension.
Amen.
There's never going to be anything that challenges us in this life that there's not an answer from the faith dimension.
Amen.
Do you think God's confused on the throne today?
No.
Do you think there's any question he can't answer?
Amen.
Do you think there's any difficulty he can't unravel?
Amen.
He has the answer.
Amen.
But make sure you're looking in the right place.
Amen.
If you're going to search the internet, it's your own funeral. It's your own funeral.
Amen.
Friend, I'm not going to go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to try to find answers. I'm going to go to the tree of life.
Yes.
Because I know every answer I get from there is going to lead me to life.
Amen.
Why should I go to this perverted tree, which has brought all this perversion that's around it? Even the answers it gives have side effects. They make a car. It kills more people than all the wars in the world. Yeah. Make diesel engines and so forth. Now they say it's causing the climate to get to a stage that we're all going to die. Whether you believe it or not, that's up to you. But friends, everything which you get from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's not a perfect answer.
That's right.
You'll accept the answer, then there's all these poisonous side effects that come. Why trust it at all?
Yeah.
Just go there as much as you need. Take a phone from it, then use that phone according to the way it should be from the faith dimension. If you've got a computer, use it to tap into the faith dimension. Use it to reinforce your faith. Use it to feed the things that you believe. And that's why the prophet says God puts gifts to stimulate faith. You know, there's various ministries and gifts and offices that he has put. Don't sit there in your darkness. Don't sit there in your confusion and allow yourself to perish. The best thing you can do many times, when Peter started to sink, what did he say? Master, save me, I perish.
Amen.
He cried out for help. What about Bartimaeus? Thou son of David, have mercy upon me.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed to cry out for help.
Amen.
It's better than staying blind back there for the rest of your life. The moment he cried out for help, Jesus stood still.
Amen.
And then something moved from the faith dimension, was transmitted into his realm and changed his situation. Friends, there's an answer to all of these things. There's an answer, but make sure you're investing in the right thing. Make sure your faith is leading you to invest in the right thing. There's something really about faith. Noah, 120 years. Now, the good thing about Noah, his faith, it says, by faith, Noah, he built an ark to the saving of his family. Oh, that's wonderful. That's the prophecy. Look, on Friday, we said that faith, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, it has two parts. Faith is a substance, which is an assurance, and an evidence. And that word means a conviction. Now, conviction moves beyond assurance. You might have an assurance, you can be passive with your insurance. But when you have a conviction, you're going to do something about it.
Amen.
And that's why faith, it gives you an assurance. Noah, you found grace in my eyes. The man can rest. But then the same message that comes to tell him he's got grace also now gives him a conviction. Go and build a boat to the saving of your family.
Amen.
Now faith goes into action.
Amen.
Faith must always go into action.
Amen.
It must move into the realm of conviction. If your faith isn't yet in action, so you're not yet convinced. Because once you're convinced, you'll be concerned. You'll do something about it. And Noah, the moment he was convinced, he started chopping down trees. He started making the plans. He started doing the things that he did. And because he had a genuine faith, the prophet says that same faith that saves you will also save them. His family, friends, they could see that dad is not playing here. Dad really heard from God. They could see it in his life. They could see it in the change of his priorities. They could see it in how he spent his time, how he spent his resources. They could see it by his attitude towards the critic, by his attitude towards the outside world. He wouldn't be pulled to the left hand or the right. He would say, sons, just leave them alone. Just feel pity for them because they don't understand. And 120 years he continued to labor on that project. And his faith, he built an ark to the saving of his household. That's what faith does, friends. That's the faith that you want. We want faith that builds something which brings them in. One by one, let them come in. Let that conviction, that genuine outworking of the faith, which is invisible in you, but let it on a daily basis in its outworking through the good times and the bad, let it do its job. And friends, those within that radius of that faith, it's going to do something to them.
Hallelujah.
They can't stay the same.
Hallelujah.
But if our children see that this is just all theory, yeah? My dad, my mom doesn't really believe these things. My mom never reads the Bible. The only time mommy reads the Bible is when she goes to church.
Right.
Friends, I'm not speaking.
Amen.
I'm not just speaking from the A.
Amen.
I'm getting down to people's address.
Yes.
You can't, as a mother, never read your Bible. Never listen to the message of the hour. Then you expect your children are going to read the Bible and listen to the message of the hour. How is that going to happen? That's not how faith is transmitted in that way. That is not how the power of influence is ever going to work. But like Brother Beckett said that time, if you love Jesus, and you really love Jesus, they're going to see that you love Jesus. And they're going to start to love Jesus as well.
Amen.
But if you don't really love Jesus, if it's just a theory to you, how do you expect your children to love Jesus? If you're complaining about church, oh, it's too long. Oh, no, I wish we didn't have to go today. They're listening to you. Then when they come next week and say, I wish we didn't have to go today, then you get angry with them. I remember once at home, I might have said it before, but I think when Daniel was young, you know, and he lost his temper a bit, and we shouted and we said, Daniel, where did you learn to shout? He says, from mummy. And he could have said it from daddy as well, because we all shout now and again. No, but you want to blame them what they've done. But who taught them to do that?
Amen.
We taught them to do that.
Amen.
Our friends, it's not easy, we understand. But that principle is very, very true.
Amen.
Noah, his faith, he lived his faith.
Amen.
Because he had a substance faith. His faith was reflected in his works, in his deeds, in the things that he did on a daily basis. I'm sure Noah had his good days and bad. He was a mortal being of flesh and blood. I mean, there's going to be a counterattack of the devil. You can't expect... You think all that criticism had no effect on Noah. Now, these times your faith starts to go down a little bit. Then, you know, those things, where the shield of faith is not up in the position that it should be. Those fiery darts start getting through once in a while. You know, but you've got to pick it up as quickly as you can.
Amen.
You've got to discern, this is having an effect inside of my life. You know, I need to come up higher now. You know, I need to be quickened once again. Now I need to meet this challenge. And the way you meet the challenge, get yourself back in fellowship with the faith dimension. Lay in the presence of the faith dimension. Feed your soul on this message that came from the faith dimension. There's no other way. Pray, speak to the faith dimension. It'll bring forth its waters to minister to you. There's no shortcuts in these things, friends. That's why if you have those things in your family as parents, the impetus must be on you. Don't put the impetus on the Sunday school teachers. No. Don't put the impetus on anybody else. It's your responsibility as a mother and father to live the faith to your children. No one else can do it for you. God didn't put those children in such a close proximity to you for nothing. He put them in close proximity so that your faith can influence them, so that they also receive the same faith. The prophet says the same faith that saves you, it will also save them. But it's got to be faith in action.
Amen.
It's got to be faith where there's a conviction, where you're convinced. It's a substance. It's an evidence. It's real to you. How do you expect it to be real to them if it's not real to you? You read the Bible to them and it's like you can't wait to finish. It shouldn't be like that. But it is like that. Many people don't even have a family altar.
Amen.
Yeah. You find that the husband sometimes wants to have a family altar. The wife's against it. She doesn't want a family altar. What are you doing to your children? You're not sowing seed faith. You need to sow seed faith to get a harvest. You need first to get your faith up to date, quickened and real. Then start sowing seed faith. Like Moses' parents, they sowed seed faith into the Nile. They received a delivery that delivered 2 million people from Egypt.
Amen.
You've got to do something for God to respect.
Amen.
And that's how we'll finish off with Abel.
Amen.
By faith, Abel.
Hallelujah.
My friend, faith is worth, a faith that's worth living for is worth dying for.
Yes.
Amen.
Abel was willing to die for his faith.
Amen.
He was so convinced of the message that he believed. He was willing to die on the same altar that he sacrificed his lamb. That's the faith we need. And that's how when that man would worship, fire would come from heaven. His worship wasn't just a natural thing. His worship was through a conviction. There was a reality. When he offered an offering, the faith dimension ministered fire onto his offering. God testified of his gifts. Oh, friends, don't you want that inside of your life? Let God testify of your faith. Let God send fire down on your experience. When you worship, let the reality of God come into worship. If God's reality is not coming into your worship, you're not worshiping properly. If you fall asleep in song worship, it's not the fault of the song leader. Let me tell you that.
Yes, yes.
It's your fault.
Amen.
Did you pray up in the morning? Are you walking with God like Enoch walked with God? How can you walk with God and then fall asleep in the song worship? When the song says we lift up holy hands, you don't lift your hands. But the words are saying we lift up holy hands. I always wonder about it. You're saying the words, we lift up holy hands, and you're not lifting up your hands. Are you understanding what you're singing? Are you thinking about what those words actually say? Or are you testifying that your hands aren't holy? Because it says we lift up holy hands. I don't know. You're the only person. But friends, surely. Surely, surely, surely. How can we say we're going to have rapturing faith? Yeah? You can't lift your hands in song worship. Sickness is going to strike your home. You're going to need to call Jesus on the scene. But you can't even sing in song worship. Don't fool yourself. Your faith needs first aid. Your faith needs help. Not saying you don't have faith. You do have faith. But feed your faith. Exercise your faith. Put preeminence on your faith for a season. Forget about the internet. Forget about YouTube. Forget about Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all those things for a season. And set your affections on the tree of life. Go in fellowship with the faith dimension until you receive a conviction once again. You receive a substance once again. Oh, friend, then you'll start seeing faith in action. Because faith without works is dead. And then it says, by faith, Enoch. Before Enoch could be translated, there was one condition. He walked with God. Do you think somebody doesn't read their Bible the whole week? Are you telling me that person can claim to be walking with God?
No.
Is that possible?
No.
That's not possible. A person who doesn't pray.
Amen.
Are you walking with God?
No.
How can you walk with God? But the condition that Enoch is our day, he walked with God. And he had this testimony before he was translated that he pleased God.
Hallelujah.
Friends, faith is a serious thing. And that's why God puts all these things in Hebrews chapter 11 so we can look at ourselves in the mirror of the word and say, look, this faith that I'm claiming that I have, yeah? But look how it worked itself out in Abel. He was willing to bear the persecution, Abel. He could see it with Cain that, this kind of worship that I'm doing here, this is going to cost me.
Yes. Amen.
I can see what's in the eyes of this half-brother of mine. He could see it. You can tell what's in the spirit of somebody. He could see his intent. He could see his jealousy. He could see his malice. He could feel it inside of himself. But did it stop Abel from worshiping the same? Did it stop Daniel from praying the same? Did it stop the Hebrew children from worshiping? That's what faith does.
Amen.
Faith isn't governed by the circumstances. Faith wants to express itself. So just let it express itself. And it'll take care of itself. And then Cain slays him and he becomes a perfect type of Christ. Now, you'll ask a simple question. Why is it the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11, doesn't start with Adam and Eve? Why does it start with Abel? It's a good question. Because Adam and Eve saw God. There was no faith to Adam and Eve. They saw God.
Hallelujah.
But all the heroes of faith is seeing him that is invisible.
Yes.
That's why it started with Abel. He was the first one who had faith in him that is invisible.
Hallelujah.
And that's a type of a believer.
Amen.
You've never seen him, but you love him.
Amen.
You've never seen him, but you believe in him.
Amen.
Faith is seeing him that's invisible.
Amen.
He has the preeminence. He has first place inside of your life. That's why it starts with Abel, friends. But it doesn't finish with Abel. Let's read the scripture at the end as we finish with this scripture. Let's read from verse 32 of Hebrews 11.
Hallelujah.
There's lots of different people in there. Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what more shall I more say? For the time would fail me. Friends, time has failed us. We'd like to say more, but time has failed us. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon.
Amen.
Hey, many of us can associate ourselves in Gideon.
Yes, sir.
He's the reluctant hero.
Amen.
He wants to be in the background. But God ordained him to be a mighty man of valor.
Amen.
And God persuaded him to believe that.
Amen.
He wasn't like that in the beginning. God persuaded Gideon. And Gideon became a mighty man of faith.
Amen.
Our friends, many of us can take comfort in that.
Amen.
Of Barak and of Samson.
Yes, sir.
Imagine Samson with all of his weaknesses.
Amen.
But in his death,
Hallelujah.
He fulfilled his commission.
Amen.
He destroyed more in his death than he did all the days of his life. Showing it's never too late for faith
Hallelujah.
To take a proper hold in the life
yes.
of a person.
Yes.
You may play around with the faith for years, but friend, if you are dangerous, that faith is going to catch you sometime.
Amen.
When you're willing to pay the price, you're going to see a full manifestation of that faith. You may have played around with that faith along the way, but there's going to come a time that's going to come once more, Lord. And that once more will make it all worth it in the end. That's what Samson had. He had a once more, Lord. And of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets,
Amen.
Who through faith subdued kingdoms.
Hallelujah.
Oh, friend, you have the faith
Amen.
In you now to subdue the kingdom of the devil.
Yes.
If he has preeminence over you,
Amen.
Rise up in faith.
Amen.
Feed your faith.
Yes.
Then exercise your faith.
Amen.
And you will see there's something inside of you. Great is he that's in you. You have power to subdue kingdoms.
Yes.
You have power. That's what faith does. It wrought righteousness, obtained promises,
Hallelujah.
Stopped the mouths of lions.
Amen.
Sometimes we need that in the home.
Yes.
Quenched the violence of fire.
Yes, sir.
The Hebrew children. Escaped the edge of the sword.
Mm.
Look what faith does. Out of weakness we're made strong.
Hallelujah.
You might say, but I'm weak. It's okay. That's where you start. But faith hasn't finished yet. Let faith do its complete work. And faith will bring you out of weakness. You'll be made strong. That's what faith does. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. What does he say in the end about this Paul? Hebrews 12, if you can put it first.
Hallelujah.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, the unbelief that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Doing what? Looking to him that is invisible.
Yes,
looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
The author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
And then it goes to speak about how his great exploits of faith. Friend, it doesn't matter what you're going through. You'll find yourself in Hebrews 11.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what your circumstance, what your situation is.
Amen.
There's examples. There's a cloud of witnesses that'll stand around you, urging you on. Paul's speaking of a race there. He said it's like the people that have got the medals before. They're standing in the stands there. And now it's your turn to run in the race. And they're urging you on. They're saying, keep going, brother. It's sweet at the end. It's sweet at the end. Don't give up now. Get your second win. Just take a deep breath. The finishing lines, not far off. They're urging us on. And friends, when you read that chapter, it urges you on. It's like you say, Lord, let me gird up my loins again.
Amen.
Let me put on the helmet of salvation. Let me get the shield of faith back in the correct position. Let me run with patience this race that is set before me. And as long as I can keep looking to him, looking to him that is invisible in fellowship with the faith dimension, friends, there's no weapon formed against you that can overcome you. Because he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He'll send his angels to watch over you. If you're about to stumble, they'll bear you up in their arms. Friends, more they are with us than are against us. He's given us all that we need. Let's take advantage of this faith dimension. Let's stand. Let's come to... Amen. Amen. Let's come to worship, saints, because we're here to worship. And friends, if you want fire to come and you worship, worship when you don't feel like worshiping.
Amen.
Give him a sacrifice of praise.
Amen.
Serve him when you don't feel like serving him.
Amen.
Serve him when it seems everything's against you. That's how these people obtained a good report.
Hallelujah.
By faith, not by listening to your senses. We are here to praise him.
We are here to praise him. Lift our hands and sing.
Oh, we lift our hands and sing to you, Lord.
We are here to praise,
to praise you, Lord.
The best that we can bring. Oh, we'll be blessed because
steadfastness of the Lord.
Steadfast love of the Lord, never worried, never ever ceases.
Steadfast love of our Lord,
steadfast love of the Lord, ever,
for it never ceases. His mercies never run to an end, to an end. They're on you, they're on you, every moment, so new. So new,
great is thy.
Hallelujah. Oh,
great is thy faithfulness.
Let's bow heads. Let's come to pray. First, let's come to repentance. Like Brother Tommy said, we need to repent of our unbelief. Let each of us repent of our unbelief.
Yes, sir.
Because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. You may have disappointed him yesterday, but they're new every morning. You find how he encourages you and strengthens you the next day. Oh, friends, let's appreciate him. Also calling the parents today.
Amen.
As parents, let's come to repentance.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Let's say, Lord, forgive us.
Please, Father.
Amen.
We're not showing forth.
Please, Lord.
We're not convinced.
Please, Lord.
We're not putting the right influence upon our children.
Amen.
And say, Jesus, help me. I want to look unto you.
Yes, Jesus.
The author and the finisher of my faith. I want a renewed substance.
Yes, Lord.
In my experience, Lord. I want a conviction. I want a reality. I want an assurance. I want an evidence. I want something, Lord, that's real to me. Because, Lord,
yes,
how
Lord.
Can I expect to make it real Amen. To them if it's not real to me? So start with me, Lord.
Amen.
Help
Please,
me,
Lord.
Lord.
Please, Lord.
Father, quicken my faith.
Yes, Jesus.
Re-energize my faith.
Please,
Lord, revisit my soul Hallelujah. Once again. Lord, I'm beginning tired in the line of duty.
Yes, sir.
Lord, the shield of faith has been slipping down.
Amen.
The darts of the enemy, they've been finding a mark.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, I want to gird up my loins
Please,
today.
Amen.
I want to rise up once again.
Amen.
I want to go forth in the steadfast love of the Lord.
Amen.
I want to go in the name
Hallelujah.
Of Him that never fails. But Lord, I need to hear from the faith dimension
Hallelujah.
Once again. Speak to me afresh, Lord. Father, call me afresh. And when
Hallelujah.
You speak, I'll say, here am I, Lord. When you speak to my heart, I'll say, Lord, here am I.
Amen.
Let's come before the Lord. Whatever it is you need before the Lord, let's speak to Him. Speak with a conviction, friend. Speak sincerely and honestly. And may the Lord help us. Let's come and pray in Jesus' name.
They were in a
as was promised by power. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, send the power.
Send your power, Jesus. Please send your power, Lord.
Oh,
send the power.
Send us your power, Lord.
Send us your power, Lord,
and baptize everyone.
Yes, this power from heaven descend. Oh, we descended with the sound of rushing wind. Oh, tongues of fire came. Oh, it came down upon them as the Lord said he would. He has promised he would send it to us too. Oh, Lord, send them. Send us your power, Lord, to live your word. Oh, Lord, send them. Send us your power, Lord. Your power, Lord, and baptize me. Oh, yes, yes, this old time power was. Oh, it was given to our fathers who were faithful and true. This is promised. And we only have it. Oh, we want your power, Lord. Oh, Lord, send the, send your power, my Lord, just now. Oh, send the power. Oh, send the power, Lord. Your power, Lord, and baptize me. Oh, send your power, Lord. Oh, Lord, send the power. Send the power, my Lord, just now. Oh, Lord, send the power, my Lord. Send the power, my Lord, and baptize everyone.
Just a couple of announcements, saints. The first one is next weekend we are away for youth in Wicklow. But we still will have a normal service on Friday. Brother Max is going to come, so we'll continue on with the normal service on Friday. Sunday service, we'll do like last time. We'll start at 2 o'clock in the afternoon next Sunday. Because I think it's 22, 24 people going, so it'll be quite a lot of people away. So we'll come back and have our service at 2 in the afternoon. It's a bit of a change on that one there. Please be in prayer for those meetings. Secondly, I got an invitation. Brother Jonathan from Switzerland sent it. I put it on the youth forum. I should have put it on the main one. I will do that. But we're being invited to a convention at Easter in Switzerland. There'll be Brother Donnie Reagan, Brother Tim Pruitt, Brother Ron Spencer, and Brother Biskill. They'll be taking it. So it's already been quite a blessing, I really do believe. So I'll put it on the main forum and just want to find out how many people would be interested in going. Because if there's sufficient people interested in going, I'd like to go as well. And then we could make an arrangement. Maybe again we could have special meetings on the St. Patrick's weekend. Like have special meetings then. And if there's sufficient people who want to go, instead of us having special meetings here at Easter, friends, I don't think we're going to have a better cast of preachers which you could invite here at Easter than going there. So we'll just see it. We'll put it on the forum, please. Let us know how many people so we can make an assessment to see whether we need to have something here or rearrange our things a bit. But I think it would be a great blessing And I think Brother Jonathan and them, I think, you know, their church would treat us real well and so forth. You know, so pray about it. We'll put it on there and let us know, please, if you will. So that's youth next weekend from Friday up to Sunday. We'll start here at 2. And then we have that possibility of that convention at Easter. Let's sing before we ask Brother Scott to come and close for us in a word of prayer. And may the Lord be with you until we meet again.
Amen.
Let's press on. Victory is certain to a believer.
Hallelujah.
Friend, in the soul of a believer doesn't know how to accept defeat. That's true.
Mm.
The devil will beat you down. But if you just get yourself in tune with what's in, you will never, the soul of a believer cannot accept defeat. No, you'll never. Now, if you feel like you're defeated, and that's just your feelings, you're not defeated. That's not the real you speaking. Go and listen to the real you. The real you is telling you to press on. Because joy comes in the morning. Weeping only lasts for the night. Joy comes in the morning. Let's press on, saints.
Come out. Come in. Come out. The spirit of Elijah turns us. Oh, he turns us back. Come and take off this rock. You will never thirst again. Oh, Spirit of the Bride, say come, come on, come on. Come and drink of this rock. Oh, you will never thirst again. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say come. He that hath an ear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Church, never fear, never fear, never fear. Oh, come and drink of this rock. Oh, you will never thirst again. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say come. Oh, come out, come out, come in. Wrong. You will never thirst again. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Oh, God's voice is calling us today. God's voice is calling from heaven. Come out of it, my people. Be not partakers of the sin. Iniquities, oh, the Spirit and the Bride say come, come out, Dublin Church, come out, come in, come out. The Spirit of Elijah turns us, oh, it turns us right back. Come and drink of this rock. Oh, you will never thirst again. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say come, Dublin Church. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say come.
Spirit and the bride say come.
I just wanted to say thank you, saints, for remembering us in prayer on Friday, because we couldn't come. We had trouble with the car. But what it is, I just want to thank the Lord, because my car had developed a problem, like of kind of vibrating like that. And after our tearing meeting, when we were driving home, it was really bad. Okay, but when I went to look at it, I found a wheel bearing. I thought that was a problem. I corrected it. It was a problem. And didn't drive the car. Now, on Friday was the first time I drove it after fixing it during the week. And as I drove, the car just began to shake worse and worse and worse. And I tried to drive slowly. It just couldn't. So it forced me to turn back. And the next day when I looked at it, I checked the work I had done on the wheel bearing just in case I had left something loose. Everything was perfect. And I looked, everything was okay. I found like a flat spot on one of the tires. But the biggest problem was on the rear. As you looked at the tires are brand new. But on the inside, it had worn out so bad that the metal was sticking out. For those that know, tires have steel belting. So much that I thank the Lord that the tire didn't burst for us while we were traveling. So thank Amen. You so much for your prayers.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we approach you, Father, with so much thanksgiving, Lord.
Amen.
Father, for your goodness and mercy
Amen.
To us, Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thankful, Lord, for testimony, Lord, that Amen. We can stand here, Lord, today, Father.
Amen.
Sometimes we take these things for granted. Sometimes we don't quite realize.
Thank you, Lord.
But, oh, Lord, you are so merciful
Thank
to
you,
us,
Lord.
Father,
Amen.
Your word is so true
Amen.
That your angels encamp around
yes,
those, Lord,
Jesus.
That fear you.
Amen.
Father, when we don't realize it, Lord, they save us. They carry us going out and coming in. Father, even, Lord, when we look at your word, and you said it, Lord, even with Job.
Amen.
That Satan, that accuser, he said, Lord, Father, that Job, he worshipped you because you put a hedge around it. Lord, thank you for the hedge of protection around us, oh God. Father, we appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, for, Father, even our sister, Viva, Lord, to hear her, Lord. Father, out of what Satan thought was a negative, but Lord, it brought a positive. It gave your daughter time
Amen.
With you, oh God. Father, we appreciate you in all things, Lord. And Father, as time goes by, we realize it more and
Thank
more,
you, Lord.
Lord, that Father, in all things, Lord, you are behind all things and you are with us in all things, Lord. Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of your
Hallelujah.
Word today. Father, sure word, Lord, of promise, Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, a sure word to quicken our faith, Lord. Father, Lord, we appreciate it so much, Lord. Father, your word, Lord, is so difficult for us
yes,
to contain, Lord.
Lord.
We feel like bursting out, Lord. We think
Amen.
Of Jeremiah who said it's like fire shut up in his
Amen.
Bones. How we love your word, and
Hallelujah.
Especially when it's a word in season, Lord. That Father quickens us, Lord. And
yes, Jesus.
Father, it just
thank
brings
you,
revival
Jesus.
To our souls,
Amen.
Lord. Feel alive once again.
Yes,
Father, we
Lord.
Thank you for that because you are the great shepherd. You know what we need. Father, and when we need it.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You for the word today, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you for your servant,
you, Lord.
Lord. Father, who,
thank
Lord,
you,
we
Lord.
Know that the only way you can use a gift, Lord, is if, Father God, the brother puts himself aside
thank you, Lord.
To
Amen.
Allow you, Lord, to speak to
Amen.
Us. And you have spoken
Amen.
To us today.
Yes, Lord.
Father,
Amen.
Once again, we say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, we ask you for more grace upon our
Please.
Pastor, Lord.
Amen.
That he'll continue to humble
Please,
himself, Lord.
Lord.
That
Amen.
He'll continue to avail himself.
Yes, Jesus.
So that you can use him more
Please.
And more, Lord,
Amen.
To shepherd us,
Amen.
To help us, Lord, to lead us in the way. Father, Lord, continue
Hallelujah.
To bless him, Lord. Even,
Please, Lord.
Father, as we are at the dawn of a new year, Father.
Amen.
We are in expectation of great things, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, Lord, we ask that you'd guide and lead him, Lord.
Amen.
Father, and we pray for revelation, Lord, ourselves to,
Amen.
Father, Lord, know the place, Lord, that he plays in our lives, Lord.
Amen.
Father, God, be merciful to us, O
Please,
God.
Lord.
Heavenly Father, we approach you, Lord, now, Father, at the end of this service, Lord. Father, but we know it's not the end, Lord. It's
Amen.
Just until.
Amen.
So we are asking, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would please be with us, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Father, be with us where we go. Father, the things we speak of, oh God, may we be so sensitive to that, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we don't want anything, Lord, that will weaken our faith, Lord. Mm. But instead, Lord, we want to, Father God, meditate on these things, Lord. We want to feed this word which you've brought to us. So be with us in our fellowships, Lord. Be with us in our communion, Lord. Father, let no person be grieved by your word, Lord. Father, we pray, O God, for grace and mercy. Heavenly Father, at this time as well, Lord, Father, we want to pray a special prayer for our sister, Sister Dube, Lord, and her family, Lord.
Amen.
Father,
yes, Lord,
we know that our natural parents, Lord, they're type of you, Lord, especially good parents, O God. Father, and it's only the other day, Lord, Father, where she was giving thanksgiving, Lord, of how you gave sight back to her father.
Amen.
But, Lord, you know all things, and you knew that his time was now.
Yes,
Father,
Lord,
we pray, Lord, and we pray that you'd comfort our sister in the loss of her father.
Amen.
Lord, even us, Lord, as her brothers and sisters, may we be a comfort to her, Lord, in whatever way we can be.
Amen.
Lord, but we know, Lord, that you, Lord God, Father, at times like this, you're so real to us, Lord. So comfort our sister. Be with her, Lord, in whatever plans or preparations there may be. Meet every need is our prayer, O God. Heavenly Father, we pray as well for some of the needs we have, sisters expecting, Lord. Father, we put every circumstance and situation in your hands, Lord. Father, be with them, Lord, in all things, Lord. Right through there, one day, Lord, there'll be dedication of child, Lord, that, Father, we can give praise and glory unto thee. Lord, you know you have many students here, Lord, who are in college, Father, with needs.
Amen.
Please meet their needs, Lord.
Yes,
give them
Lord
understanding, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we pray, Lord, many needs for visas, Lord.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
God, Lord, you know the right time, Lord. Only thing we ask, Lord, is for faith, Lord,
Amen,
to grow in your children,
Amen,
oh God, so that they know, Lord God, that you're unfailing God.
Amen.
It's impossible for you to fail, Lord. So increase our faith, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, be merciful, Lord. Heavenly Father, even Lord, Father, with the meetings, Lord, for the youth at the weekend, Lord, we give it into your hands because you do all things well. So we pray that you'd be with those meetings, Lord. Let it not just be a gathering for the sake of gathering, but Lord, may you be in it, Lord, right through the week, right into the meetings, oh God, so that, Lord, once again, our youth can come giving testimony. Bless those behind the scenes, Lord, which labor tirelessly, Lord, for these things. Lord, as we commit it into your hands. Father God, any other request, Lord, even the forthcoming convention, Lord, if it be your will that we should travel, we ask you for blessing. We ask you that you make ways, Lord, where it seems there's no way. Father, all these things we put into your hands. Be with us now in the remainder of the day. Give us traveling mercies, Lord. Be with us in all that we'll do, all that we'll say, as we praise your name,
amen,
Lord Jesus. Thank you once again.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen.
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 God bless saints. Let's sing one as we dismiss.
I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing. I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be God wants me to be. Lord, give me strength as I run this race to stay on the path no matter what I face. Jesus Christ in my heart, I feel the change growing from the start. Who can bring a clean thing out of the unclean? None but Jesus Christ. Call him on the sea. Lord, make me anew. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. My life, it's a two-horse race.
the black and the white, Lord, I must keep pace. Who will win this race? The choice is yours, the one you feed the most. He who began a good work in you is faithful to finish. His word is true. Let him in your heart, Lord. To be, I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. In my life, now that Christ is in, a picture of him they can clearly see. More I want to die, must Christ myself for reign. For you I live and I'll only serve. I'll give you me, Lord, you really deserve it. We are born long before time. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. But I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. For I want to be what God wants me to be.